Good numbers.
It's good.
And we are now live. So good morning, everyone, this Friday morning to our hospitality highlights again this week. I am joined by not just one, not just two, but three incredible guests this morning. So in no particular order, no favouritism at all. Can we start with Kevin? Kevin, can you introduce yourself, please?
Morning, guys. My name is Kevin Steele. I'm the head of culinary for the Midlands for Thomas Franks. I'm also a Burnt Chef Project ambassador and have been for the last 3 years. Nice to see you all.
Nicely done. Thank you, Kevin. Mark?
Hi there. I'm Mark McCulloch and I'm a virtual CMO for businesses in hospitality, tech and B2B. But lately, or the last couple of years, started a charity-type vehicle to get more people working in hospitality from Gen Z and lower millennials called Hospitality Rising, and a few other bits and bobs, speaker, podcaster, odd job man, all that.
Nicely done. Thank you, Mark. Good to have you here. And finally, last but not least, Gavin.
Hi, everyone. Morning. I'm Gavin Young, so I'm the Group Culinary Director of Thomas Franks with the event about 2019.
Thank you. Just a big shout out to Thomas Franks as well, who are doing the catering for our upcoming gala on Monday. How's the prep coming along, Jeffs? Good?
Yeah, we're getting there. It's looking good.
Yeah, really good.
I'm sure it'll be smashing. Thank you. And someone who doesn't need any introduction, Cara Houchin this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning. So,
we've had a few tech issues this morning. I'm currently in a hotel in Doncaster, and so the internet is also
okay.
So we'll see how we get on today. So this week's topic is we're going to be discussing the Langham London, who have gone through a slightly different recruitment process for their new restaurant Mimosa, whereby they've offered up to, I think it's 80 candidates, trial shifts in order to be able to assess their viability, to assess how they perform within those environments, rather than just going on CVs. So is this, I suppose the first question is this just a stage, or are we looking at something unique here?
I can jump in on that. I mean, I think there's a real watershed moment with recruiting in general. And since COVID, you know, everything has changed. The entire game has changed. And we're really seeing that sort of generational shift happen. So I'm a great believer that CVs are dead. I think recruitment for blue-collar workers is fundamentally broken. Recruitment for lower millennials and Gen Z is completely broken. And, you know, I think with hospitality, certainly front of house, back of house positions, I think a CV is redundant, you know, excuse the pun, where, you know, when you look at a CV, what do you care what school someone went to, you know? And actually, I think it's a psychological hire. I think it's a chemistry hire. And, you know, having done a lot of work with Hospitality Rising, but also on many, many podcasts talking about recruitment hospitality with the greatest people in hospitality, you know, they are really focused on, are you generous enough to share your learnings with someone else? You know, as a leader of a business, you've got to look at that. And also, is that person, does it look like they have it in them to want to please people, make them happy, serve them, etc., etc.? And, you know, most people will. And if you can just point that energy in the right direction, then I think you're off to the races. But I think there's 5-10 years work ahead of us to completely reset the HR recruitment system, because it's just, you know, for chefs, for example, famously good at English and spelling, right? You know, like, why would you put them through that to then, you know, fill out page after page after page? We need to work on something that doesn't suit us as operators or HR departments, or, you know, makes our life easy. We need to make it easy for the customer, I suppose, or the person that's registering. And the last thing I say is, it needs to be as seamless and frictionless as ordering a Deliveroo or listening to your favorite album on Spotify. And why this doesn't exist right now, when we're putting you know, spaceship, internet, satellites up, and, you know, AI and robots a go-go and all the rest of it. It just seems crazy that that doesn't exist right now, and it really doesn't. People say it does, and it doesn't. So, yeah, I think it's exciting, actually. I think it's a really exciting time, and I'm really glad that the Lions looking at doing something like that, because, you know, I think that's absolutely the way to do it.
Yeah.
Nice.
As someone who's hired in the past, I don't know, you can get anything from a CV at all, like nothing, until you're actually in front of somebody. I find it really hard to judge a person. And someone who has written a CV, it's the most boring task ever.
Yeah.
And having to shout about yourself is really hard. Like,
well, yeah, really, I mean, it depends if you're a show off, I guess. But I think also, you know, guess what's going to happen? Everyone's just writing their CVs on ChatGPT anyway, right? So you're going to get nothing. You're going to get nothing out of it. And also, I've had it so many times in my career as well that, like, an X Factor audition, the person's interviewed well, but then it's only a few weeks in that you really realize that, you know, again, they've done their research, or they've ChatGPT'd, or they've learned from all the places they get knocked back, and then they turn to the brown stuff, you know, when they come in. So, you know, I think, again, the more practical you can make a recruitment process, and also, it's a two-way street. It's not just about the employer, right? You know, so if we get someone in, and they bounce after a couple of days, or they bounce by you doing something a little bit more practical and a little bit more on job. It's a bit of Love Island technology there, a technical term, on job. So, you know, so in terms of that, you know, you get them in and you see what they're capable of. But again, by you spending that time up front, surely you've got a better way of weeding out people that you know, you're just not compatible, but also you're more likely to get to that sort of magical 91 days that everyone talks about.
Yeah, us as being an employer, 2,500 people, we've had to really sort of like look at what we do as far as that recruitment piece is concerned. Obviously, I think it's different depending on whether you're looking for someone that's in a senior role, then obviously a little bit more structured. But definitely for, you know, commies, CDPs, you know, it's all about getting them in hands on, making them feel comfortable, letting them feel free to be able to, you know, be part of that working day, and then assess them on that bit.
Yeah, I mean, hospitality is very transactional. It's very, it's a very personal industry. So I think, you know, getting in front of people and having personal interactions with people at the very first stage is really important. I think, you know, COVID happened, and in recruitment, we got a little bit lazy. It was kind of, let's have a Teams call, let's have an online interview. And I think, you know, the message doesn't quite get across from both sides on, you know, what the job role entails, what the skill set is. So I think, you know, the trade test kind of trial shift interview process is really important.
And it's really not for the many. You know, I think we should be really proud. You know, I always think about like things like Doc Martens, you know, it's kind of for the alternative kids or whatever. You know, it's the same with hospitality in terms of a job. You know, we're not for the normal, right? We are for the outliers. We are for the people that, you know, they're not neuro-traditional. You know, they're just not going to fit in. They've maybe felt a little bit, you know, of an outsider, et cetera, you know. Actually, I would go like the Jameson's whiskey adverts years ago, where you go, we're for the 1%, you know, and really celebrate that and say that we are, you know, a truly diverse and different way to live your life, actually, that fits around you, you know, which I think's, you know, super, super interesting. And the other thing is, working in hospitality as well, hopefully people will find out that, you know, it makes you a better everything, right? You know, it's almost like, don't want to sound like an old guy, but, you know, national service or something like, you know, if every single person had the humility to come and work in hospitality, I think we'd actually see a better society. You know, I think if you go on to be a doctor or a barrister rather than a barista, and, you know, and all these things, you know, I think that it would just be, you know, such a better, there'd be so much more, you know, understanding and all the rest of it. And the other thing, just on the point, you know, that Gavin was talking about earlier, I think we absolutely need to step up on training, right? So all we heard at Hospitality Rising was, oh, the quality of people wasn't good enough. Well, we don't have a clone factory somewhere that's, you know, knocking out chefs like Star Wars. We've got a finite amount of people in the UK, and a finite amount of those have been trained. What, you know, actually, I think the pendulum's slightly swinging from a recruitment need to actually just a training need. And like us, you know, making all our great dishes and all the rest of it, we need to take those raw ingredients and spend time with them to train them. You know, so actually, I think it's on you. So it's almost like the Man U Academy or the Brighton Academy or whatever it is in football terms. We need to start self-growing these now. You know, they're not magically going to come along that there's someone with 17 years experience and they're going to want 10 grand less than we thought. And you know, they're going to have the right to work in the UK. And, you know, these unicorn chefs, you know, hiding the horn under their hat, you know, it's just, that's just not going to happen. So, you know, I think it's really exciting that I think the AHR is going to have to absolutely, you know, blow everything up and start again. And the smarter operators out there are going to be saying, right, we're taking raw talent and we're going to train it. It might leave us, but maybe 50% won't, and then they'll be in a far better position.
Yeah. Our Chef Academy that's run now for the third year in a row. I think we've got our first 15-year-old on that this year that's still at school. And that's really lovely to see that there's people of that age now choosing to come into this industry that I think we lost that for a period. But definitely training need and, you know, having things like an apprenticeship scheme within a business is, I think, all you should be looking at having that, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting part of the conversation, actually, because we talk about higher education. We did a fantastic event last night with Doncaster College, and the students absolutely aced it. But when it comes down to apprenticeships, do you think that the barrier to entry in the UK is too high for apprenticeships within hospitality, bearing in mind that you need to have bare minimum GCSEs in English and maths before you can even enter an apprenticeship?
Absolutely. I mean, we've had a few people, like, you know, that haven't been able to get onto that scheme because of the maths need is so high. And we see that being really rare. You know, people, you know, when I went to catering college, whether you were good at maths or not, you know, if you wanted to be a chef, you could come into that. And you know, the hospitality industry thrives on taking people from all walks of life, and it definitely shouldn't be suppressive in that way to be able to, you know, have people or not because of that need.
I think it always makes me shudder, the A word. It just feels really old fashioned, you know. And you know, I think for this generation coming through, you know, Gen Z and then Gen A after that, you know, I think there's a bit of work to do to kind of modernize it. It's kind of like, I don't know, the Church of Scotland or, you know, the local library. You know, they're all a wee bit sort of outdated in terms of, you know, the youth being attracted to them. And the apprenticeships thing, I always feel like it's something your parents will sort of force you to do, whereas rather than something that you would actually want to go and do. So, you know, I think there could be a little bit of branding work there that, you know, we could work on that. Yes, it's an apprenticeship, but actually we could make it sound and look more exciting, because it kind of feels like you're kind of being packed off to something that you maybe don't want to do. I'm not sure there's kids that get up, you know, in the morning and go, oh my God, I can't wait to get an apprenticeship. You know, I just, it's kind of a means to get there. But I think we need to maybe sort of relook at that. And I think it could be really successful, you know, much more in those academy terms that Gavin was talking about there. You know, I think that's far more interesting.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a lot of work to be done. I mean, I remember seeing Lee Woolley from Stonegate or ex-Stonegate do a talk about the importance of apprenticeships. And actually, they had quite a pivotal role in improving retention rates within organizations. So I think that the retention rate improved by, from memory, 33% of people who were on apprenticeships, because there was longevity in the learning and the training. And there was a clear path as well in terms of that education thing. So I think they've got a really pivotal role to play. But is this something that you think will be challenged with this new interview process, whereby we're getting people to test their skill versus their will, or their will versus their skill and their knowledge? Or do you think it could run alongside?
I mean, I would absolutely welcome it, you know, and I think we're in a situation that things are moving so fast in terms of audience needs and wants and expectations, you know, far more than ever. And the way that we've always done it doesn't mean to say it's the right way to do it. So I would hope that, you know, there's constant assessment of, you know, is your interview process right in your company? You're welcome, you're on board, you know that. But the same with apprenticeships, you know, and I think we need to sort of tweak it slightly to make it right for hospitality, you know. But again, with the apprenticeships, I don't know what the split is, you know, if there's maybe some more managerial ones as well, you know, which might need a little bit of that. But I think if we're talking about front of house, back of house, you know, I think we need wholesale change in the way that we look to recruit and hire people. It just feels like the time is now. And for once as well, with hospitality, you know, we could actually be leading a lot of industries, you know, to actually, because if we can say to people, you can apply for a job in under 30 seconds any way that you like, and, you know, if you're not successful, there'll be a big old CRM system that will keep you in there. You know, that means we steal a march on, you know, the Amazon drivers of this world, people going to work in building sites, lower level office, and all the rest of it. So I think there needs to be that uniform approach. And then you were talking about schools and further education and stuff as well. Like, I really would love if we were able to kind of make that slightly more uniform as well about how we went out to these places, because I'm on a lot of calls and it's absolutely no disrespect to anyone, but people going, oh, I was out and I saw six schools in the last 6 months and we took a chef out and a couple of cassette banners and, oh, the kids had a great time. And it's like, the kids will have forgotten about it like 20 minutes later when they're on TikTok, do you know what I mean? So I think, you know, from that perspective, you know, an old guy getting wheeled out with a cocktail shaker, right? It's just like, so I think what we need to do is, again, you know, it's all about us coming. If we came together properly as an industry, you know, absolutely everyone in, you know, we could pick off these big challenges together and we could really nail them. And what I'd like to see almost is someone owning each bit of the funnel, you know, in terms of the schools bit and then the attraction bit and then the onboarding bit. And, you know, but what I was going to say is one of the best ways that we could approach the schools thing is actually work with, you know, employee and, you know, sort of engagement experts. So the people that work with Nike and Lego and Fortnite and all these things, and then try and figure out how we could make it relevant for now, you know, not someone, you know, coming out with a, you know, a trolley with some stuff on. So, you know, I think there's a lot to play for, which is actually what makes it exciting. The hard thing is money's never been tighter. Everyone's under stress, you know, and we are slightly fragmented at the moment in a lot of ways. So, but yeah, it'd be good to try and see some of those initiatives, you know, one or two big things sorted with you know, in the next year or so would be fantastic.
Gavin and Kev, how do you go about finding and attracting the right sort of talent into your business before the interview stage? How do you source these individuals?
Well, I think work for, you know, because we haven't really struggled with that recruitment piece as much as some of the other people. You know, we did a lot on, you know, empowering people, keeping them busy, you know, getting them out doing stuff for charity. I think, you know, we even had other people from other companies coming, then that's not gone away and it stayed part of our culture, charitable style. And I mean, obviously there are some roles that we do need to go out there, but I think the lucky thing that we've got is we've got our own recruitment guide from the catering industry. So we try not to use, as you know, so many agencies. So that guy is always out interlinking with people. I'm always getting contacted by people on LinkedIn and stuff. So, you know, we're quite proactive in that aspect, would you say, Kevin?
Yeah, definitely. I think, like you said, on the culture, you know, I think we pride ourselves on having an amazing culture within Thomas Franks, and we're almost a destination business to come and work for. I think, you know, the way I recruit is, like Mark was saying earlier, skills can be taught, right? Whereas attitude and willingness to learn can't. And I think, you know, identifying the people that are, you know, you might have somebody with an amazing CV with 3 Michelin stars, but they might not be the right fit for the culture of the business. Mm-hmm. Or you might have somebody fresh out of school that's, you know, passionate, willing to learn. You know, they really want to push themselves, but they haven't necessarily, excuse me, got the skills, but they want to learn the skills. And I think that's where, as a business, it's really important to make sure that those training processes are in place from start to finish, from grassroots all the way through to management.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, is there, it would be fair to say that there's more work that we need to be done in terms of upskilling our managers? I mean, when you've got our turnover rates in some businesses of 60, 70, 80, 125%, it's often very easy for us to go, it's just that, just as Mark says, it's just the way it is, right? That's just the way it is. But actually what we need to take a little bit of responsibility for is that until we start to address those turnover rates, we're putting people into management positions with skill sets that they might not necessarily have. For example, interviewing it's a skill set. You have to practice it. You have to be able to get an opportunity to start to work out what a good candidate looks like, what sort of questions you can ask, how much information that you give about the role. And these are skills that you don't just wake up with one day. And if you're suddenly put into a charge of a team of 30 and you've got to recruit for 5 roles straight away, are we responsible for taking on the responsibility, or is that an employer's job? How do we tackle that?
I think it's two things, really. So one is, it should be part of the plan, right? And, you know, other industries and bigger organizations, you'd have all that in place, you know. But hospitality is so lean, you know, there isn't really a lot of time or bandwidth, there's necessarily experience in the business either to help people with that. So I see that as a sort of two-way street, that one, because if you had the right attitude, you know, as Kevin's saying, then, you know, I would, the type of person I am, I'd be watching YouTube videos on how to interview. And, you know, I'd be like upskilling myself, but then not everyone's going to do that. So I think there's a balance. I think there's absolutely, you should get the support for that. But I think the onus is on the, you know, I just think if you want to win in your life and at business and in your career, you've got to self-learn too. You know, it's not going to be handed to you on a plate. It's like trying to be a basketball champion or, you know, whatever it is. And look at what's out there right now. I mean, we've never lived in such a helpful time. For the chat GPTs of this world, or YouTube, or podcasts, or TikTok, or whatever it is. So, you know, I'd be curious myself about how to do that. The difficulty as well is, you know, the younger generations that we're definitely seeing through Hospitality Rising as well, is they want to be that senior now. So they come in and they want to be a director. They want director in their title. After they've been there 2 minutes, they want 60 grand. They want, you know. But then there's that fallacy that you sort of still have to do the time to get the experience. So, you know, as you're saying, Chris, you know, you can put them in the job, but most of them will probably fail or burn out or, you know, get demoted again or leave or whatever, because, you know, the proper things haven't been put in place. But I think as long as you clarify what their, you know, career trajectory is going to look like, the things they need to hit to get there. But if you're a decent leader, you know, I think you would be able to point them in a direction that will also be able to help yourself as well as, you know, give the support. So I think it's a two-way thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think that's where succession planning is really important, in my opinion. And again, it's something we do as a business, is identifying the future leaders or the emerging leaders within the ranks of the business and put a solid succession plan in place for those people to get to the next steps. You know, identifying what training needs they've got, what their personal goals are, and really setting that in stone so that they can kind of strive for the next level.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting, so we do a lot of work with colleges and one of the things that we've just launched or we've just piloted is like resilience training. So to try and build the skill sets and coping mechanisms for the younger generation. Mark, in your experience with all the younger generations that you're working with, are you finding that, as you say, they're looking for more quick fixes, more quick rewards without putting the sort of legwork in? And is the legwork required? Are these young generations of people coming through just a lot more adapted to being able to learn and develop quicker than perhaps we were 20 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just such a big fan of them and how they live their lives. You know, it's absolutely hack central. Funnily enough, there's just a question coming on LinkedIn, someone that's watching this. So Matthew Lockery, and you know, and it's around that sort of thing as well. So I'll cover that and then I'll do the generational bit. So basically, yeah, cover letters are, you know, people hate doing even more than CVs. I think anything that you can do to just have that human contact, you know, in hospitality, I would absolutely, you know, sort of recommend. So whether it is a phone call or whether it is, you know, a video or whether it is in person or a quick coffee or something, I know you can't do that with everyone, but, you know, I'd really question how many HR people are thoroughly reading the big pile of CVs that they've got there that stands out. It's like being at the perfume counter at, you know, Selfridges or Debenhams or whatever, you know, by your eighth one, you go, I don't know what one that is anymore. And people are only human. So I think the best advice I'd give to anyone applying for a job is try and stand out, you know, so, you know, no matter what level it is. So, you know, years ago, I worked for Loaded magazine and all that, and NME doing their student marketing. And the reason I got the job was I sent my CV at the time as a NME magazine, you know, so it looked like a finished sort of NME magazine, you know. And I think when you're looking at how to stand out, that's kind of how to do it. So you can write a cover letter, but that's fine. But the reason I'm saying about the generation, and I'm so... you know, excited about them, is that they sort of cut to the chase, right? So there's not all this pomp and ceremony about, oh, you know, I mean, I don't even know if you remember, if you're old enough, you used to have to have your CV on courier paper, you know, and it was like slightly yellow and it had the watermark on it and it was, you know, looked expensive and all that, you know. So, you know, with this, the thing that gave me the most delight and started giving me this thought was, a chef was going mad on Twitter, right? And he was going, how dare this, you know, kid, right? And what this person had done, I'm assuming it's a kid, had went onto the contact form of this pub and restaurant and just said, have you got any jobs going? ? In the title and nothing else. And I thought, well, why not? You know, and what's quite cool about that is it's like the way people are using online dating at the moment as well, which is they don't just wait and like someone that they like everyone and then see what comes back. So, right, and then they start to play the game, right? Apparently. speaking for a friend. So this is the CV. So these kids are into that, and that's almost showing someone's smartness of data. You know, like being the ugly guy in the nightclub, you know, will you sleep with me, will you sleep with you? And someone's going to say yes. So in terms of that, well, you would hope. So, you know, in terms of that, that's what they're doing, right? So they're banging out all these CV, you know, these one-liners, and then they're seeing what comes back. Now, a story I got, you know, and this is what started me thinking that we need to meet them in the way that they live their life, right? We can't expect this generation to just conform and do what we'll just lose them. Because, you know, as I talk about often, you can make 60,000, 100,000 quid a year selling pictures of your feet in OnlyFans, right? And, you know, so why would you want to do 32,000 steps a night working in hospitality and, you know, unsociable hours and all the rest of it? So, you know, I think these kids have got loads of options and they can start a business in 20 minutes. And, you know, it's a huge fight for that. But I really think that, you know, with this generational shift, this hack culture, we need to be able to tap into that and think, you know, where's their attention? How do they use things? What's their expectations? And how could we make applying for a job in hospitality in any way that they like as quick as possible? The word of warning, though, is video, because everyone thinks video is the answer, and it isn't, because we've done some research and we saw that 80% of people under 40, in fact, it was 35, said that they wouldn't do a video for something like this, and they're videoing all day long for themselves. But as soon as you ask them to do a video, they'll sort of freeze. So I think, you know, with the neurodiverse world that we live in, etc., I think we need to give people all the options of, you know, do they want to text? Do they want to send a voice note? Do they want to, you know, how do they want to, it's almost the, you know, Cadbury's cream egg, how do you eat yours? How do they want to do it? And we'll be there to catch their contact. And then it's only from there. That you can get a hold of them. And by the way, TikTok for recruitment has been phenomenally effective for me. You know, with Hospitality Rising, with Soho House, with Buzzworks up in Scotland, and we did it their way, and you know, we did really well out of it.
What were you doing on TikTok? What had the impact on TikTok? Because, you know, everyone can access TikTok, but. Yeah. Knowing how to use it effectively as someone that is looking to recruit, how were you doing that?
Yeah, well, we took on an agency called Antler Social, and they're a TikTok-only agency, because what you need to understand is, as you say, you don't know how to use TikTok, so you're going to be a bit dad or mum at the disco, you know? So you have to invest in the right minds, even if it's just some consultative time to show you how to do it. As I say, there's a million videos out there to show you how to do these things as well. There's all the help sheets on TikTok for business and all the rest of it. So, you know, you'll be able to kind of cobble it together as well. But yeah, we thought that was the best way to do it. And then with the Buzzworks example, what we did was, don't really do normal ads on TikTok. Your best bet is work with content creators. So find the talent that I've got, you know, a wide range of audience sizes, but, you know, good engagement maybe in your area, if it's your specific area, and work with them to give them an outline of what you want from them. So what we did with them was we basically said that, you know, Buzzworks had, you know, jobs going at all levels and in all of their sites, and we targeted that sort of west of Scotland and, you know, a couple of venues in the east as well. Then with working with the content creators, you know, one of the videos came back that would have curled your hair. Like, I was thinking, there's no way that we're putting this anywhere near, you know, this brand. But you've got to, you know, sort of unhinge your brand brain a little bit and your sort of protective brain and say, look, you know, this is all about the greater good, you know. And then that video that scared me so much actually drove 38% of all of the applications. Now, what we did was give them a rough script, and it basically was, send this to a friend to say that I need a job, hashtag I need a job. So in the comments, you'd either put someone's name and tag them, hashtag I need a job if your friend's skint, or if you're skint and you need a job, hashtag I need a job. We then had a community team at Antler Social who then were able to reach out to that person and either get a phone number or an email address, and then we'd give that to HR, and then HR would take it from there. With that kind of landing page, so it was all kind of automated. Now, HR hated us, right? Because all they had was, you know, someone with, like, you know, two hairs on their head, they were holding them, you know, which was either an email address or a phone number. But the team had to end up pulling, you know, a few more shifts, because I was saying, you've got to get back to these kids in, you know, 24 hours maximum. I mean, that's dog years on TikTok, do you know what I mean? So, so that happened. And then actually a few of the venues ended up having waiting lists, which was really exciting. And the people that came through TikTok actually, as far as I know lately as well, this was a year and a half ago, you know, all if not most have stayed. So actually ended up being quite good quality as well. But, you know, that was just to give people some inspiration, because, you know, Buzzworks isn't the biggest company in the world. And yeah, it was a chunky sum of money. But, you know, on balance, it paid off, and it was cheaper than them recruiting and replacing maybe from other job boards.
Nice. Interesting.
I love your dating app analogies as well, by the way.
Yeah, I may or may not be in that game at the moment, yeah.
never got an opportunity to try.
No, don't. Oh, God. Yeah, stay out of it.
We've come to the end, but just before we finish our really, really healthy conversation, I'm thoroughly enjoying it. We have a question for the chef. So, Kevin, Gavin, you've talked about the tech available now. Do you use much tech in the running of kitchens? And if so, does it help training and building confidence in chefs, or is it actually more of a hindrance?
I think us as a business, we've sort of embraced tech probably more so over the last sort of 2 or 3 years than ever before. So, you know, we've had to introduce, like, you know, recipe online management systems for, you know, allergens and stuff. And obviously now we've got a new portal for employment and getting people onboarded quickly and then being conducted better. I think as a business, once you get to a certain size of the size we're at now, we have to be able to have technology to help us be able to, you know, do our job better. Absolutely. I mean, and we need to try and understand more. And obviously now AI is a massive part of everyone's life, and that's going to grow. And I suppose as people become more and more understanding of it, then hopefully we can get more out of it.
Final question, I guess, then, for me, and this is one just for people to ponder and take away, is that Will technology and AI ever replace the human element of hospitality?
We've just done half an hour. We're going to do another half an hour now.
Yeah, maybe we should do that.
Perhaps that's one for next week. I mean,
I
personally think no. But I honestly thank you ever so much, guys, for your time, your experience, and for joining us this morning. If anyone wants to reach out to you, they can do so via LinkedIn, or we'll tag you on Facebook as well. And I just want to say thanks for your time. I'm looking forward to seeing some of you next week for the second gala, which is going to be crazy. So
exciting. Thank Very you exciting. So much.
Yeah, have a fun night.
And just to let everyone know, we don't have one next week of these, do we, Chris?
No, next week we're having some well-deserved time off. And then we will be back on the following Friday. Who are our guests the following Friday, Cara?
So that's April 5th, and we've got Sally Abay and Rishi Desai. So that'll be an interesting chat, I think.
Perfect. Thank you ever so much. Again, thank you guys for joining us, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Everyone.
Thank you, everyone. Cheers, guys.